The NFL league year is expected to get underway with Tom Brady as the starting quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The question is, what's it mean for the Bucs? What's it mean for Brady? And also, what's it mean for the Patriots? It's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys can hang out with me on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. I want you guys to chime in on what the Patriots should do today. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What should the New England Patriots do about their starting quarterback position? You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz, and we'll start with some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless has a full court cell phone coverage plan that you need. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. Saves you up to half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. And the Straight Talk to me is really about the Patriots. Look, we've been anticipating at least the potential that Tom Brady could be walking away from the Patriots since the fall. I mean, Adam Schefter has been yelling about it as loud as anyone could hear, and now he's right. The question is, if Adam can anticipate it, we could anticipate it, and we've been talking about it for months, how have the Patriots not been thinking about this? Why do they not have a better plan? Jared Stidham is right now on the roster and expected by some to get the opportunity. If you watch a lot of college football, you know the name Jared Stidham. He was supposed to be the next great thing at Auburn. It looked like he was going to make Auburn a different team. He was going to take them to a different level, and then it just didn't happen. If you go back and you look at the tape for Stidham, there were moments that it was great, and there were moments that it was head-scratching. Now, we don't know what it's been now that he's been under the Patriots' tutelage for a year, but we know this. The Patriots don't have a set option. I mean, think about it. Yesterday, as the news started to break that Cam Newton is going to be traded, how many people were trying to put Cam onto the Patriots roster? All that made me think as we left the show yesterday, as I understand it, I said yesterday, you're allowed to have ego on both sides. And ego is not a bad word. Some people say ego is a bad word. I don't. If you've accomplished as much as Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have, you're allowed to have some level of ego. I have no problem with that. So I have no problem in my mind with yesterday saying Brady walked into Belichick and said, I want to do things this way. This is what I want to do to stay. I have no problem with Belichick saying, cool, I respect that, but that's not the way I'm going to do things. So, you know, if you want to stay with New England, you have to do it my way. I have no problem with all of that because they both accomplished so much. What's confusing to me, the farther I walk away from that, is how did Bill not have a better option? Jimmy Garoppolo was supposed to be that option at one point, sure. And we can have the debate all day long on whether or not trading Jimmy G was the right thing to do. But there's no debate over the fact that Jimmy G's been gone for a long time. So how do the Patriots not have their minds on what's next? Do we really believe in a world, understand, that because of COVID-19 and the coronavirus, there is the opportunity, at least the chance right now, that OTAs won't be happening? We talked about part of the reason that Teddy Bridgewater made sense to be reunited with Joe Brady, his former passing or offensive coordinator with New Orleans. He now is reunited with Joe Brady in Carolina. That makes sense because he knows that offense, right? Who knows Josh McDaniel's offense? I mean, trading for Andy Dalton is fine. How is he going to learn this system? How is he going to get the reps? How is he going to become the starting quarterback? And how on God's green earth, as Mike Golic always says, how on God's green earth did the Patriots not anticipate that? That's the part I can't wrap my head around. If we believe that Andy Dalton should be the next quarterback, or if you believe that Jameis Winston is going to go up and be a reclamation project that Belichick can get right, if you believe that there's a mid-level quarterback that's going to find their way to New England, fine. But how did they not have their mind wrapped around that to begin with? And you also have to look around and suddenly ask yourself, are teams going to be willing to help the Patriots? I mean, for anyone that says they'll just trade for somebody, remember, a trade takes two partners. Two partners equally devoted to making a trade happen. Now, that means the trade has to be beneficial both ways. If you are a team with a starting quarterback that the Patriots are interested in, I don't know, but is there some level of hesitation? Do you not want to trade to Brady or to Bill Belichick and the Patriots because you're concerned, rightfully so, that that quarterback's then going to go be hugely successful? If you're the Bengals, I keep using Andy Dalton because we know he's out there. He's out there on the market. If you're the Bengals and you have Andy Dalton under contract, do you really want to send him to New England while you draft Joe Burrow and suddenly watch the possibility that Andy Dalton, united with Bill Belichick, becomes this dynamic duo that wins a bunch of games? I'm not sure. It's stunning to me today, not just that Tom Brady isn't the quarterback for the Patriots. That's not as stunning because, frankly, if you listen to our analysts for the last several months, you might have seen it coming. What's stunning to me is that the Patriots don't seem to have a clear-cut answer on what's next. NFL analyst Marcus Spears joins us now on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. Marcus, what do you think would be next for the Patriots?
Jared Stidham fits. See where he goes, man. See if he can, I guess, carry the ship and become a good player. Everybody needs to remember Tom Brady was a late-round pick. They didn't know what they had in Tom Brady. So before we cancel out the fact that Jared Stidham may be a very capable quarterback, I had a chance to watch him at Auburn. He's really good. Now, obviously, you want to see that translate to the next level. But before we out on the kid, before we start predicting all of these known commodities and guys that are that have been in the league and have had some level of success, I think we need to stay patient. I think that's what Bill Belichick is going to do. Obviously, you bring in a veteran in case it doesn't work out, but I believe the Patriots are going to give Jared Stidham every possibility to be their starting quarterback. He's been in that system. He understands the Patriot way. They liked him out of college. They drafted him. So now he's up and see where he can go from here.
Well, you mentioned it, Marcus. You've seen a lot of him. We're talking to football analyst Marcus Spears on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. First Take Your Take. I'm Jason Fitz. You've seen a lot of Jared Stidham in college. And there was this moment at Auburn where there was this expectation that he was going to take the Auburn program to the next level, and it just didn't happen. So where did things in his – at the end of his college career, where did things sort of go wrong for Stidham?
Well, he didn't – first of all, he was in a terrible system for his skill set. And I know everybody talked about how good he was. He did win the Iron Bowl, had a great game against Alabama. But more importantly, man, just in Gus Malzahn's system, that's not the type of guy that thrives in that offense. And he had some great days. He had some great days. He had some not-so-great days. But when you're fighting the construct of what the offensive mindset is, when you're fighting the construct of two guys maybe wanting to call plays at the time at Auburn, there's a lot of things Jared Stidham had to sift through. One thing is clear cut in New England. Bill Belichick is going to make a decision on who called plays. He's going to make a decision on who coaches the quarterback, and that's going to be the mainstay. So put players in a position to succeed. Give them every opportunity to succeed. And if they don't, then you go another direction. But I wouldn't I would say for his career at Auburn, being a transfer, being so out of what his offensive skill set provided based on the scheme that they ran, he did a commendable job there. Won some big games and did some nice things. So now it's the New England Patriots. And obviously Tom Brady has left, and we're going to compare him. We would do this kid a disservice if we mention Tom Brady's name while he's trying to take the reins. Obviously he knows, and everyone else knows what Tom Brady left in New England, the legacy that he left and the things that he was able to accomplish. But this is like anything else, man. Sports is like that. Sports is abrupt. Sports ends abruptly. Guys retire. Guys go to different teams abruptly. There's no parade. There's no changing of the guard or facilitating or ushering in the next guy. It's an abrupt ending. That's what Tom Brady just did going to Tampa. That's what Joe Montana did. That's what Brett Favre did. And fortunately for a lot of guys in this league, in the NFL, when you get your opportunity – especially at the quarterback spot, you either take advantage of it or you don't. And that's what Tom Brady – if Jared Stidham takes anything away from Tom Brady, Drew Bledsoe out, Tom Brady comes in, the rest is history. Now Jared Stidham has to go write his own book. And if the pages and the chapters are not as good as people think they should be, or if no one wants to read it, then you find somebody else to be the author.
Swagoo, nobody does it better. NFL analyst Marcus Spears on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. Marcus, thanks for your time, man. We appreciate you.
All right, Fitzy. Take care, brother.
First Take Your Take brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. I love getting Marcus's insight on him, specifically when I talk about Jared Stidham, because right now I think you need to be looking at NFL analysts that also have watched a lot of college football to understand who Jared Stidham is and who Jared Stidham is going to be. But there's another part of all of this, and that's Tom Brady. What's next for Tom Brady? How did he get where he's going? But also, what is the next step for Brady. That's something that they debated today on First Take when Mike Greenberg joined Max and Stephen A.
Well, I'm excited for Tom Brady. I'm excited for all of us, because I think once the NFL season gets underway and we see the opportunity for Tom Brady to go against Drew Brees twice a year, Tom Brady to go against Matt Ryan twice a year, I think that's going to entertain us. If we are in the NFC conference, obviously, they're going to be going up against potentially an Aaron Rodgers. We'll see that matchup. We'll see him go up against Russell Wilson. We'll see him go up against Jimmy Garoppolo, for all we may know. Of course, the Cowboys as well. So I love that. I also love the fact that Tom Brady's going to have some weapons. We can sit up there and talk about any slippage all he wants to, and I'm not going to deny that there may have been a touch. I'm certainly not going to go as far as others have gone in talking about the level of slippage that they've witnessed, because I have been focused on him being bereft of the weapons necessary in order to succeed, because I've never seen a quarterback successful throwing the football to themselves. And you got Mike Evans in Tampa. That's not going to be a problem. You got Godwin. You got O.J. Howard. All of these guys are in Tampa with Bruce Arians being a guy. Byron Leftwich, let's not forget his name. This is a guy that was a former quarterback, obviously, at Marshall, former quarterback in the National Football League, an offensive coordinator in Tampa. If we're going to sit up here and say that Jameis Winston was not as awful as we all thought he was, and the truth be told, he wasn't, because he did throw for 5,000 yards, but this is a guy that threw 30 interceptions, which is why he was universally villainized to some degree. But in the end, he had a lot of potential. They had a lot of potential offensively. Byron Leftwich has a lot to do with that. The combination of Leftwich along with Bruce Arians, you got Tom Brady there, not turning the football over, running your offense, ensuring that at the very least you're not going to beat yourself. I think it elevates Tampa's chances exponentially to at least make the playoffs and potentially have some degree of success in the playoffs. So I do like it for him.
Tampa has an embarrassment of riches in terms of weapons on offense. And this was a very smart and, for me, unexpected move from Brady. Not that he's not smart, but the Chargers also have weapons in L.A., and I just assumed that he would want to go to L.A., and the Chargers brand has always been weak compared to the Rams and the Raiders, and Brady could kind of set that, you know, kind of ignite their brand and also set himself up with TB12 and all that stuff. He made the wise choice. He picked the spot where he's more likely to win, which is ultimately better for his brand and any products he wants to sell eventually. And he's selling them now. So I thought it was a smart choice. As I said, an embarrassment of riches, and surprising. I was very surprised to read from Bill Barnwell this morning on ESPN.com. They were fifth in DVOA, defensive value over average. The Bucs, they were a really good defensive team. Like, the underlying metrics, not that it's a perfect stat, but like PER in basketball, or every, you know, WAR in baseball, whatever you stat you want to, that by that metric, which is not a kind of discarded metric, it has value. They were actually good defensively. And now you have all these weapons. The real question is, as Molly was talking to Mike, to Greeny earlier in the segment, no risk it, no biscuit. That ain't Tom Brady. You know, on the one hand, you think if Jameis was so bad that Fitzpatrick was like a revelation at times, boy, Brady with these weapons is going to be amazing, except he's been dink or dunk for years now, especially recently, and then even year over year, more dinking and dunking, and now all of a sudden it's going to be taking shots down the field. That said, this was a shrewd move for Brady, who simultaneously has left the cupboard bare for Bill Belichick. He has set himself up to look as good as possible in the divorce.
I want to expand on what Max just said, because I agree, and I'll take it a step farther. Anyone who knows me, my old show or my new one, knows that I'm a fan of the Jets. The Patriots are the arch rival, and I've rooted against Tom Brady in literally every game he's ever played. But I respect the hell out of him, and I respect him even more now. Because all of the talk about, would he go to South Beach because it's so glamorous and maybe Giselle would be happy there? Would he go to L.A. because he could set up his production company and all of that? He made a football decision. First and foremost, this was by far the best decision that he could make. The reason Tampa's defense is so good, at least in part, is they have an excellent defensive coordinator in Todd Bowles. He was the head coach of the Jets. Was not a great head coach, but an excellent defensive coach. They also last year lost 7 games by one possession, and in those games, Jameis Winston threw 18 interceptions. If he had just thrown half that many, they probably would have made the playoffs last year.
The 85 Bears all of a sudden.
You add all of that together, and I'm telling you right now, I give the Buccaneers as good a chance as any team in the NFC to make it to the Super Bowl this year. I still believe the AFC is the varsity and the NFC is the junior varsity. Another reason it was smart for Beatty to make the decision that he did. So if they had to go against Baltimore or Kansas City, then I would definitely like the AFC team. So I will not pick them to win the Super Bowl. But right now, if you ask me to pick the best team in the NFC, if Brady is what we think he can be, you cannot make a better choice than Tampa Bay.
It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Man, if I'm the Saints, I'm rolling over when I hear that. I mean, let's not make it sound clear cut. I understand the addition of Tom Brady has incredible benefits, but we're also presuming that suddenly Brady's going to step into a situation that doesn't have, air quotes, the Patriot way, and there'll be no adjustment period for him. I mean, we're just sort of eliminating the Saints from that conversation. I don't know how I feel about that. I know how I feel about ESPN NFL insider Dan Graziano. He's the best. Dan Graziano joins us now on the Shell Penzel Performance Line. Dan, what's the latest you're hearing for everything with Brady?
It's interesting. I don't know when things will get announced because there's these new rules. Obviously, you can't go to facilities and you can't have people into your facilities and all that stuff. So if a deal is contingent upon a physical, you might see it take a few days or weeks. We have no idea before it gets announced. So, I mean, the latest is, you know, they're finalizing or have finalized an agreement and Brady, barring some kind of bizarre, unforeseen, you know, failure of physical, will be the Buccaneers quarterback next year. So still kind of hard to believe and picture him in that uniform, but that's almost like a Steve Young, but backwards, right? You see the Steve Young shots in the Buccaneers uniform, and then later he became the 49ers. It's going to be the other way around here.
Well, at least looking at Twitter, everybody wants those same creamsicle uniforms that Steve Young wore. So, yeah. Dan, is there an adjustment in your mind for Brady going to a place that for once doesn't do things the same way?
Has to be. And I think, you know, in Brady's mind, the idea is that, yeah, adjustment, but it'll almost certainly have to be easier because I don't think there are too many programs that are more demanding than the one Bill Belichick runs. And I think that's part of the reason he left was 20 years of that. He decided was enough, but it has to be. It has to be different. I mean, Bruce Arians, he's been around. We know him as a coach. We know what kind of guy he is. I think it's the way he runs his program in Tampa. Obviously, he's had a lot of success in previous stops, but there's no question. I don't think you're going to be running hills after practice every day like they do in Foxborough, for example. But, yeah, I think it's going to be an adjustment, but it's probably one he's looking forward to. I'm curious to see what the adjustment is in terms of the offense. I mean, he's been in that Josh McDaniels offense for so long. What changes for him and what do they change because he's the quarterback now as opposed to Jameis Winston? So I think that's part of the story here too.
Stick with Josh McDaniels for a second, though. I mean, given the fact that he was a hot candidate for head coaching jobs all over the place, I think people use that as a reason. Him staying in New England became part of the narrative of why Tom Brady's going to stay. So is there some level of surprise for you that Josh McDaniels is still there?
Well, I mean, no, because he was trying to get the Cleveland Browns job, and he was surprised last year he wasn't a candidate for one of them, maybe Packers, maybe that one. So it seemed like the last couple of years Josh McDaniels has kind of taken seriously the idea of maybe I need to find my next head coach opportunity. But he's still wearing that stigma from a couple of years back when he agreed to coach the Colts and then bailed out on him the day before they were going to announce him at a press conference. So I think, that stands in his way a little bit just in terms of teams looking out and going, well, how can I trust this? And so I think you saw him try to move on, I think a little bit the last couple of off seasons, unsuccessfully. And so, I guess I'm not surprised he's still there just because it seemed like it wasn't working out for him. But yeah, I think if he was trying to move, a lot of coaches have left there the last couple of years. I don't know if McDaniels was trying to move on because he had a sense that Brady was leaving, but I think there is a sense there that, like, they're obviously nearing the end of something, right? Because, you know, Brady is not going to play forever. Belichick's not going to coach forever. So, I think I'm sure that McDaniels would rather still have Brady there, but, and I wonder if it'll affect his chances to get that head coach job if he remains interested in it.
Dan, quickly before we let you go, any sense on what's next for Jameis Winston?
I don't have a sense on what next for Jameis Winston. I don't think he's at the top of the list for a team like the Chargers or a team like the Patriots, who has an obvious need at the position for a starter right now. But he may have to do what Marcus Mariota did and go take a backup job somewhere. Odd that those two are always kind of connected in the conversation, right, ever since they were drafted, before they were drafted. But he might have to do that and build his career back up. I heard a very interesting idea suggested to me by somebody in the league yesterday. They said, look at Pittsburgh. You know, they need a backup. Their quarterback's not going to be there forever. You know, is that a place where you can go and work on what you need to work on and then be ready to go when you're called upon if Ben Roethlisberger gets hurt or when he decides to retire? So a situation like that may be what's next for Jameis Winston, unless there's a team out there dying to make him their starter that I'm not aware of.
Dan, as always, great stuff. We appreciate your time, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
All right, Jason, take care.
ESPN NFL insider Dan Graziano. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. We're going to keep getting your thoughts on what the Patriots should do next. You can call us 888-729-3776. Give me realistic scenarios, by the way. I want realistic scenarios on what the Patriots should do next at the quarterback position. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. We'll take some of your take. Plus, another NBA superstar has tested positive for coronavirus. Is the season ever going to happen? You'll hear some strong thoughts from what the First Take panel thought. And you'll hear all of that next. But first, the Home Depot is changing the way doing gets done. With a pocket full of digital tools on the Home Depot app, like image search, you can snap a picture with the app, find out what you need, and the product locator will not only tell you how many are in store, but will also show you right where it is, down to the aisle and the shelf. You don't have to think, you can go exactly where it tells you with everything you need to do projects smarter, faster, and easier. From online tools to free delivery on over 1 million items, welcome to today's Home Depot, how doers get more done. Is there going to be any doing of an NBA season, or is it done? Hear what First Take thought next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 8, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and you guys can hang out with us on the Shell Penzo performance line. What should the Patriots do with their quarterback position? You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. You can call 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. John and Jimmy, back-to-back tweets, giving me the same guy with different concepts around it, but both saying New England should try for Jake Fromm out of Georgia. He's going to be a star. I don't know what Jake Fromm you watched. Look, I understand that Jake Fromm, the brand, has felt like Jake Fromm, the brand, was going to turn into a star quarterback. And maybe he will. Sometimes we see the unexpected happen. But there is no reason for me, after watching him sort of fall apart in his last year in Georgia, for us to think that suddenly Jake Fromm is on the trajectory towards stardom. And then the fact is, what little we got out of the scouting combine that could be positive or negative, one of the people that it was negative for, Jake Fromm. So it's a little difficult for me to suddenly look at Jake Fromm. He's a rock star. He's a superstar, and he's a brand a lot of people saw out of college, but we didn't see him get great. That's all I'm saying. So forgive me if I'm not all on board for Jake Fromm. Keep the thoughts coming. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Not necessarily Simply Safe to go with Jake Fromm, but with Simply Safe, you'll have a team of security experts ready to dispatch police at a moment's notice. That's always a win. Get free shipping at simplysafe.com/fits. That's simply with an I, safe.com/FITZ. So get out there and get you some Simply Safe. In the meantime, a lot of conversation about the NBA, what's going to happen with their season. Now that we know that Kevin Durant and his teammates have tested positive for the coronavirus, we also know that the Lakers are being tested as a team as we speak. Stephen A. is still holding out some hope that at some point the NBA season will resume, but not everybody on the panel agreed with him.
I'm holding out hope. Maybe it's because of my love for the game of basketball. Maybe it's because of my love for sports overall. Maybe it's because of my belief in this society. Once we hunker down and come together, we can overcome anything. That's usually my mentality, pretty much always, to be quite honest with you. And I understand this wishful thinking more than anything else. When the news came down about Kevin Durant and the Brooklyn Nets yesterday, it hurt my heart, because now the Lakers are getting tested today. And you know, listen. Every life matters. Every individual matters. But when people are in the public eye, situations become more pronounced. And so just imagine, and certainly none of us are wishing it, and we're praying that it doesn't happen. We hope that the cases are limited, ultimately to the point that it's completely eradicated, that we fight and beat, this virus that has, basically invaded our lives. But when the Lakers get tested today, God forbid if LeBron James comes back and, you know, he tests positive and Anthony Davis and other players or whatever, then you're going to look at the NBA and they're going to probably say, you know what? Our projections about June now are going out the window. And so when you look at it from that perspective, there's a lot to be worried about. There's a lot to be concerned about. Obviously, the health of all of us takes precedent, but we're all craving sports as well. We wish that the games were back. We wish that people didn't have to stay in their homes. We wish that people were smart enough to know how to practice social distancing more frequently and prioritize it. I remember I was watching CNN yesterday and Sanjay Gupta, people were talking about how he was walking around so frustrated because this is such a serious matter. Yet you see footage on television all the time, people not practicing social distancing, folks still shaking hands with one another in each other's presence. Max Kellerman, I've had to drive on several occasions. And what do I find? I'm seeing people on the basketball court in the parks playing sports with one another. No regard whatsoever to the social distancing recommendations that have been disseminating throughout the airwaves and beyond, nationally and internationally. And so when you see that kind of stuff going on and you hear about more and more and more cases, it's going to elevate the level of concern and worry. And ultimately, it's going to force the leagues to cancel. I'm still hopeful that that won't happen because all hands are on deck. But I'm very, very worried, to say the least.
I'm with you, Stephen A. You hope for the best. You prepare for the worst. And because the United States' response early on was among the worst, if not the worst in the world, among developing or developed nations, first so-called first world nations, we're in a bad spot. But of course we're going to overcome. Of course, in the end, we'll beat it. Eventually, with the right leadership, of course we'll beat it. But the issue is, do we do that in time to have an NBA playoffs? Remember, like just a couple days ago, if you think just psychologically how we're processing this, even as a sports community, so to speak, think of where we were last week with it. Remember when I brought up the Harvard professor who said in a couple of weeks, no one will even be in a college classroom? That's when the Ivies canceled their tournament. But the NCAA tournament was still going on. And I and you and we were all hopeful. Maybe they could do it in crowdless arenas. And we're seeing now, it's every day much more serious. Soon, shelter in place laws. They're already enacted in many places. So where we were a couple of days ago, you were hopeful we get to play out the rest of the regular season. I think it's safe to say now we're just hoping, can we get an NBA playoffs this year?
That
and what
is
I'm
right.
saying is, I hope we can, as you do, Stephen A. I think it's less likely every day.
So first take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz, and what Max just said there is incredibly accurate to me. It's less likely every day, simply because we have to also think about the ramifications to next season. If they end up having to delay throughout the summer and then look at creative, innovative ways to give us a playoff, how do we know what effect that will have on next season as well? Can they afford to take the losses twice? So we'll see how it goes as we keep all eyes on the NBA. In the meantime, all eyes on the breaking news. We just got breaking news. Adam Schefter has just tweeted this out. We have a quarterback trade. Jacksonville trading Nick Foles to Chicago for the Bears' compensatory fourth-round pick. So the Bears had a fourth-round pick they got from compensatory pick. It has been traded to Nick Foles to Chicago. So at this point, Nick Foles heads to the Bears, and Jacksonville now all in on Gardner Minshew as their starting quarterback, at least right now, as we see Gardner Minshew is going to be the starter in Jacksonville. Nick Foles headed to Chicago. We'll try and get you the best updates we can there as we continue to look at that, what it means for the Bears. Mr. Trubisky will now have Nick Foles to worry about as they push forward and try and figure out how their quarterback situation looks. Speaking of quarterback situations, we're asking for your take situations. That's a new word. Nick from Connecticut, what should the Patriots do with their quarterback situation this season?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Jason. Appreciate it. I just wanted to say I think the Patriots are in trouble, and I think the interesting storyline is who's going to do better, the Buccaneers or the Patriots, and what more of a flex would it be than to bring in Jameis Winston and to do better than the Buccaneers if you're the Patriots? I think that's going to be the most interesting storyline going forward. I thought Nick Foles would have been a good signing.
Thanks for the call. I mean, do you really think in general? I mean, it's hard for me to imagine Jameis Winston ending up with the Patriots, simply because, frankly, Bill Belichick won't handle the level of mistakes that Jameis makes. And you can say, hey, they're just going to coach it out of him. But at what point do you look at it and say, I'm not sure that A, that's possible, but B, even if they can, I'm not sure that that's the best of the options available right now. If you are Bill Belichick and you're looking across the spectrum from what's out there, why would you take Jameis Winston over really anybody else that could come in and help you, given the turnovers that Jameis Winston has generated? Yes, you get a lot of production, but you get a lot of mistakes. I'm not sure they're really willing to take that risk. Chris, in Virginia, what should the Patriots do with their quarterbacks specifically?
You know, thanks for taking my call, Jason. I think the Patriots should go with an almost kind of veteran quarterback. I'm liking Josh Rosen. I think he's a smart kid. I think he's a very good football player. I think he's got kind of a bad shape with the teams he's been on. And I think under the tutelage of Bill Belichick, I think he can groom him into a better quarterback, especially while they've got the Stidham right behind him, or at least until they get the season underway, hopefully be a 500 team until they get like another, maybe a number one pick or whatever. Even a better pick, but I do like this, the fact of Josh Rosen coming in, stepping in with his seniority and taking over at the helm until the next guy steps up.
Chris, I like that call a lot, actually. Josh Rosen makes some sense. Look, I'm not saying Josh Rosen is spectacular at all, but it's a low-risk transaction that brings you somebody that possibly you can roll the dice with and see. Again, I'll go back to what I've had a former NFL coach look me in the eyes and say, you will keep a quarterback that won't lose you a game. All right, that's the most important thing. So that's why I think Jameis Winston isn't part of this conversation, because, frankly, his turnovers lose you games, and Bill Belichick won't accept that. However, if you're talking about Rosen, I mean, that's going to be a low-risk transaction. So I don't mind that call at all. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Give me the breakdown on what you think the Patriots should do next at the quarterback position. I mean, we're talking about a dynasty that could be crumbling in front of our eyes, or can they just plug and play anybody? If so, who's it going to be? Let me know your take at Jason Fitz. Plus, we have the breaking news of the Bears have now traded for Nick Foles from the Jags. We'll keep getting a breakdown there. Tom Brady isn't the only veteran quarterback on the move. We'll hear what the panel thinks of Philip Rivers and in the Colts. And I've got strong words on this one, too. You'll hear it all next. First, take your take on ESPN Radio. It's like a daily tradition around here to break news on this show. It's something about the time frame. I don't know, but I know we have more of it. We know that at this point, Nick Foles has been traded from the Jags to the Bears. They're giving up their compensatory fourth round pick on number 140 overall, which now gives the Jags 12 picks in the upcoming draft. So Nick Foles will now be in Chicago to battle with Mitchell Trubisky as the starting quarterback. ESPN Colts reporter Mike Wells is joining us now on the Shell Penzel Performance Line. And we have Mike on because I really wanted to talk to Mike about the Colts specifically signing Philip Rivers. Mike, what was your reaction when you saw the deal for the Colts with Philip Rivers?
Well, you based off the whole offseason, the way the Colts were operating, you knew they were going to make a change at quarterback if they could, because on one of Jim Irsay's general manager, Chris Ballard, nobody would say Jacoby Brissett would be their starting quarterback for week one next season, barring injury. All they continue to say was that Jacoby Brissett is the starting quarterback right now. They, you know, they were playing the whole words game, saying right now. But Irsay, you know, went ahead and said all options are on the table at the quarterback spot, and he said he was going to be involved with the quarterback decision. So while they were trying to protect themselves by saying that Brissett would be the starting quarterback if they had to play a game next week, which obviously isn't going to happen because it's the off season, along with other issues that we're dealing with in this country, they essentially were saying that, all right, we're going to look to try to upgrade the position, because Jacoby Brissett's audition period last season in 2019 just did not work out.
So here's what's alarming to me, Mike, because I feel like if you look at Chris Ballard, he's done a sensational job of building an entire roster for the Colts that's so good. Philip Rivers was not good last year. Why Philip Rivers instead of, I don't know, for $25 million, for a few million dollars more, he could have been in the Brady sweepstakes?
Well, the thing about it is, first of all, they weren't going to pay $30 million for Tom Brady. I mean, even if he is arguably the greatest quarterback in NFL history, couple reasons. A, Philip Rivers is very familiar with Frank Reich and Nick Sirianni, the Colts offensive coordinator. All three of them were together at different times when the Chargers were down in San Diego. And then the fact that, you know, Rivers was not good. 20 interceptions last year, third most in the NFL. He played behind an atrocious offensive line with the Chargers, despite having, you know, the offensive weapons surrounding him and Keenan Allen, along with Gordon and Hunter Henry at tight end. Now he comes to Indianapolis. The Colts have arguably one of the best offensive lines in the NFL, led by, you know, Mr. Nasty, Quentin Nelson himself. But the issue is, the issue that I still have question marks are not only about Phillip Rivers being 38 years old, but, you know, his inability to kind of fling it down the football field the way he used to. But the Colts don't have much offensively. I mean, it's for, at the wide receiver spot, they return T.Y. Hilton, who is going to be 31 years old next season, Jack Doyle tight end, and then Marlon Mack at running back, who he rushed for 1,000 yards. The Colts were seventh in the NFL in rushing last season. But T.Y. Hilton, and can you name anybody else at wide receiver for the Colts?
Well, and that's, I mean, Mike, that's a fair point. So the Chargers still have a premium draft position. Do they look at a quarterback for the future, or do they address that in one of the deepest draft classes we've ever seen with some dynamic wide receivers that'll be available?
They're going to look. They're going to address it both ways. You know, Phillip Rivers, I mean, it was obviously that this is a short-term deal. Like, you know, as I wrote on, you know, on ESPN.com yesterday, was that he's essentially a bridge gap quarterback. You know, the Colts are going to, you know, more than likely select the quarterback in the draft, have this young man sit behind Rivers and learn the ropes. And if he's ready to become a starter in 2021, okay, that's the move they go. And like you said, the wide receivers in this draft class, it's such a deep class. There's going to be players there for the Colts to pick. And, you know, and Indianapolis also hopes that Paris Campbell, their second-round pick out of Ohio State, will manage to stay healthy next season. But now they have to do that. They're going to have to give weapons to help Rivers out, because if not, it's going to be – we'll be sitting here having the same conversation on March 19, 2021, on what are the Colts going to do at quarterback after Phillip Rivers flamed out. I look at this as going to be a situation where it's either going to work
out.
You
guys can follow him on Twitter, at Mike Wells NFL. I think we lost him there. Mike, great work as always. Follow him on Twitter, at Mike Wells NFL. Look, I've got a lot of praise for what the Colts have been able to do here, and the way the Colts have built their roster, I think they've been super aggressive. The Phillip Rivers part of it, just, I can't make it make sense. I keep trying to make it make sense. I can't make it make sense. If you missed the second hour, or the first hour of today's show, I should say, go check it out on demand. First Take Your Take podcast, brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checkings or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, NA member FDIC. I think it's important, Mike said there, they wouldn't pay $30 million, even if they could, for a quarterback, for Tom Brady. I'll continue to say, why not? The Colts have more money than anybody to spend coming in. They could spend money on whatever they chose, however they chose, whenever they chose it. So to me, I'm a little surprised that when you have as much money as they have to spend, that you decided a one-year stopgap on a quarterback that's a gunslinger that no longer has a cannon was the right way to go. Coming up, Tom Brady is a Buccaneer. Nick Foles is a Bear. We'll hear from First Take on Brady and someone close to the team in Chicago.